Te reo ererangi o te mānia. This episode was produced in Otatahi by Plains Media, with support from New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora tātou, nga mihi nui ki a koutou. A warm welcome to Cab On Air, a program brought to you by Citizens Advice Bureau, where we talk about your rights and where and how you can get help to support you and your whānau. Our focus is on some of the hot topics we see at CAB, and we invite other community organisations to join us and share information about their services as well. Kia ora, ahi ahi marie, ko Ronnie aho. I'm your host for today, along with Tom, our technical producer. This week in the studio, we're delighted to have Kate O'Grady. Kate's the General Manager for The Loft, which is a wraparound social service that helps you find the support you need so you don't have to navigate life's challenges alone. So welcome, Kate. Fantastic to have you here.
Thank you.
Okay. Can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, about your background?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm originally from the UK. I've been over in New Zealand now for 15 years, got a background studying in media, film, marketing, theatre, and then have worked in social services for around 20 years. So done some work in social housing in the UK, done some work out in Australia, and then over in New Zealand I did some work during the earthquakes. I was part of the rehousing project, and then I've been with The Loft for about 9 years. So been there shortly since it opened, so for most of its journey.
Okay, that's fantastic. I was going to say you should be on this side of the mic with your background. So when did The Loft actually open?
The Loft has opened back in July 2016. So we're just had our 9th anniversary, which has been hugely successful over those 9 years. Very excited celebrating our 10-year anniversary next year.
We expect an invitation to that.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Okay, so clearly those have been really productive and enjoyable years for you. What is it that makes The Loft so special?
The Loft is such a unique initiative, and I think I've connected with it for such a long time because it is very much about responding differently, responding to people's needs differently, responding to the charitable sector differently. It is about not necessarily managing a contract and ticking boxes and doing what has to be done. It's about what needs to be done. So looking at how charities work together, the fact that collaborating can bring so many more benefits to the charities and our people, and about being flexible to people's needs. So we operate a crisis drop-in service in that people come, bring with them all their story of what's happening to them. We then can help make a really dynamic plan of how they approach that. So it's not, well, here's the three things you're going to do. It's, let's talk about what are all the options and let's make that plan. So can be anything from family violence, housing, financial insecurity. Anybody managing any stresses in their life can come to The Loft. And I think that's what makes it so special, is it is that real one-stop shop of a space that anyone can come to.
Right, so it's a real wraparound service, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
So how do people refer themselves? Do they refer themselves to you? People just drop in?
Or absolutely.
Do you get referrals from others?
Yeah, so we've got at the moment 15 charitable partners who all are connected with The Loft. So we have sort of 8 different services who are based full-time with us. And then we have different services, including Citizens Advice Bureau, who come and run clinics every week. So we've got all of these partners on site that may refer to us. So one of the benefits of being in one space is, say, we have Whanauwhenua Plunkett, one of our partners. Say somebody in their Plunkett appointment discloses something else that's happening in their life, could be family violence, could be some other concerns for them. That isn't in the natural world of what your Plunkett worker would be managing, but they know they've got a team of people they can instantly connect them to. They know our team, so can introduce in a warm handover and be like, actually, here's somebody who can support you with that next piece. So you don't lose that person sort of trying to send them somewhere else and go, oh, here's a phone number, go call them. So they can refer directly while they're on site and come to us instantly. People can absolutely self-refer, so it is a drop-in service, or people can make appointments, people can phone us, email us and get some generic advice. Really, referrals can come from anywhere, GPs, whoever.
Okay, so it's very broad in that sense. Just thinking as well that from what you're saying, you actually offer ongoing support. So it's not just a one-off thing. It's like, do you provide advocacy services? Do you have people who come back again and again to see you? Tell us a bit more about that.
Generally, we are brief intervention. So we tend to see people one time, and it may be guiding them into the services they need, doing those appropriate referrals, giving them information to help them progress into the next sort of more positive phase. However, that isn't a one-shoe-fits-all kind of response. So we may be working with someone for a longer period of time. It can be some advocacy, particularly with work and income. It can be helping people know what they are entitled to and ensuring that they receive everything that they should be getting. It may be that we know there is a wait list for one or more of the services that we're referring to. And actually having someone to touch base with and connect with during that time is really important and valuable. So we may be that service for that sort of gap fill in between. We're really that kind of space where, you know, there isn't anybody else in that arena that actually can be that backup support while they're waiting to get connected in. So it's fluid to what people need.
Right. So that's part of the uniqueness of the Loft. Can you tell us a bit more about some of your other partners? You've mentioned one, but who are the other people that you work very closely with or who are part of the Loft?
Part of the Loft. So we've got, based with us permanently at the moment, we have got, and this feels like a test, but let's see how I do. We've got Whānau Awhina Plunkett, Enabling Good Lives, who are a disability service, PGF Services, Problem Gambling Foundation, who support people and their whānau with gambling harm. We have Link People, who are a social housing provider. We have ComCare, who are mental health services, Asian Family Services. I think that is it. Oh, and Enliven Older Person Services, with Presbyterian support. And then with our clinics, we have budgeting support through Kingdom Resources, legal support through Community Law, advice services through Citizens Advice Bureau, tenancy advocacy services through City Mission, court support through the Ministry of Justice, parenting advice and support through Kids Needs Dads.
Wow.
I think that's all, but I'll have to check if I've missed any. We'll have to drop those in. Let me think.
I think you've done very well, but the picture you've painted is just so broad. I mean, you've really got all the services that people might want to call on, really, there, haven't you?
Yeah. And it is meant to be that sort of significant scope. None of our partners are in competition with each other, so we don't have multiple people who are doing the same work. It is about the partners of the Loft bring something additional when they move in and do become that sort of formal partner. So at the moment we have Supergrants are about to join us, and they will be doing a lot of volunteering and work around loneliness and life skills, and really excited to have them in and see that as a real gap in the community. So it's very much about looking at the need of our community and then engaging the correct services to make sure we have those there.
Right. So those are the eight kind of, well, maybe that's a lot more than eight actually, because that was all of the other ones as well.
We've
wasn't
got,
it?
So that's all the clinics and the eight. So it is, I'm going to say 15. Yeah. I think we're 15 at the moment.
It's amazing. Yeah. So who staffs the Loft? Are you staffed by volunteers or do you have volunteers as part of your mahi?
So we are our own charitable trust, Ki Te Tihi, the Loft Charitable Trust. So we employ 7 kaimahi who do all the work of the Loft. So we have 3 of those are our support team. So they are the drop-in service, and that information and support all comes through those. We have our Te Tawhi Manahiri, who's our visitor mentor, who's that real first point of connection for everybody coming in and is really part of that support team because they are that instant connection for people who may be coming to tell a story that they've never told anyone before. It's a real moment for somebody sometimes to step in and make that call for help. So they're really key and vital to be that real welcoming person. We've got our office manager who's looking after the space, and we have marketing, communications, and myself. So it's quite a small team, but between us, we're managing to operate that drop-in, and we're also running the collaborative space with all of the agencies, which houses about 120 kaimahi who work in and out of that loft.
Wow, that's a lot. And I know that your offices are actually a very welcoming space. All the times I've been
Thank
in
you.
There, it's a very warm, welcoming space, and, you know, it's set up for children, et cetera. It's so, yeah. And it always seems fairly busy.
It is always fairly busy. Yeah. We'd have significant numbers coming through each year. We would see about 1,000 people through our drop-in service. And then on top of that, there's all the other services, seeing people, all the clinics, and people just coming in for little bits of advice, just to ask a quick question. We'd think it would be upwards of 15,000 a year who are coming to use the space. And we've wanted to make sure that that space is, as you say, really welcoming. We're very much about manaakitanga and making sure that the space is nice, is a pleasant space for people to come to. There is this sort of belief that for a lot of charities that almost you should be working in the back of some shed somewhere, and everything should be really low cost and really almost secondhand, or just bits of this and bits of that. That the loft was designed to be a beautiful space for people to come to, so that people felt valued, so that people feel that they are important and they are welcomed in, they are offered a cup of coffee, and they are treated with that level of respect that is so important for people. And that is very much in our ethos, that people deserve that, and they deserve to be in that nice space. And
Well, that's certainly the impression one gets in there, that it is a space that welcomes people but also respects those who are coming in with things that they want some support around as well. So the community connectors then are the kind of key, that do the key work there.
Yeah.
Yeah, for you. So what are the things that your staff find the most challenging in their work?
I mean, particularly looking at the moment, we are that connecting service. So as a drop-in service, we're seeing that immediate piece of work, which could be around family harm or that real instability in someone's life. That's a real crisis level of work that they're managing, which is severe. And that's a lot for a team to take on, to be supporting people, those high level needs. So we're very cautious around making sure we look after ourselves and making sure the team is really protected and well resourced to make sure they can look after themselves. As a referral point and as this connecting service, a lot of our mahi is based on where we can get people to. So we spend a lot of time working on relationships, knowing what other services do, making sure we know everything that's out there. At the moment, a lot is closing, a lot is reducing, a lot of services that were available are closing their doors, or they are or changing their referral pathways. There's a lot less places that we can refer people to. So that would be a real genuine difficulty at the moment, is trying to keep up with who is still available and just the reduction in those services and ability to get people those helps and supports that they need.
These are very tough times to navigate, aren't they? Yeah. I guess on one level, that's also one of the rewards of the role. But what other things do people find very rewarding in the work that you're doing?
I think what is so special, and particularly about working at the loft and what the team will feel, is that the work that we do has a significant, meaningful impact every day. And we see it every day. A lot of the times, even for charities, you can become quite removed from that front line of what is important and why you do the work. We really see every day the difference that our interaction can make for people. And that is so hugely fulfilling and helps keep you really on track and remind you what you're doing and why you're doing it, and just how much one interaction can change someone's whole scope or their whole path forward by just getting some real good information and referrals is really great.
That's great. So do you get feedback from your clients?
We do.
I'm pretty sure you will be.
we do. So if it is safe to do so, we send an anonymous feedback to all of the people who've used our service every month. So that comes through to us. And it's overwhelmingly supportive. especially if the team and just their warm and engaging approach with people and actually just being that space sometimes for people to be able to talk through what's happening, a real safe space. And they just really appreciate that and really appreciate that. We do have people who return to the service. Something may happen that changes in their life, could be years down the track, but they still know the loft is a safe place to come. And that's lovely to know that we're always that sort of touch point for people.
Mm, it is. So your work is incredibly important. And so I guess from what you're saying, it's tough out there. So funding is probably one of the challenges that you face, like most other not-for-profits and organisations like yours. What kinds of services do clients frequently seek out these days, in your view?
We've definitely had a shift in what people are needing, and particularly over the last couple of years. So predominantly, we had seen significantly family violence, and that would have been the main or the primary factor people were coming in to see us with. People's situations are always complicated. So what we've definitely found more recently is that while we may not necessarily be seeing more people, their situations are more complex. There are numerous factors that are difficult for them. Overtaking family violence is housing instability, and that has become so significant, particularly over the past 12 months, that and mental health and financial insecurity have become more prevalent for us than family violence, but family violence is still just as prevalent. So it's almost that there's been an increase in these other issues, not that family violence has decreased, more that those other ones have increased. But housing absolutely is, I think, across the sector, just difficulty to access stable housing, long-term housing, affordable rental properties, lack of suitable social housing, people who are ineligible for different types of transitional or emergency housing. The reduction of emergency housing and the change to those has had significant impacts. We're facing a winter where we see multiple people who are staying in tents, who are camping sometimes with young children, and are unable to access some of those supports. So working really closely with MSD and other providers to really support those people, but it's definitely the most significant issue we're seeing for the community at the moment.
Right, it's interesting. And I think that the complexity of people's issues seems to be something that we feel too, and we see it at CAB. Often people will come in with one question or one issue, but in fact there are many others around that.
I think that's one of the things with the loft is that we could be a service that just handed out some really useful leaflets. So someone could come in and say, oh, I've got a housing problem, and we could give them some really useful information on housing. But it's that piece of work to unpack what is happening for someone, that actually their need for housing is because there's been a family violence incident, and actually they need family violence support, they need emergency housing support, they need support for their tamariki, they need legal support, they need some basic needs, they need connection with the police. So actually, housing is there, but that long-term housing support is probably, there's quite a few things we need to work through first to make sure they're safe and able to thrive, and then we'll get to the housing down the track.
It's a real web, isn't it?
Yeah.
So what are the greatest challenges that you find yourself facing at the loft as a team?
As a team, I would say probably it is those situations where we're quite limited in what we're able to do for people. And sometimes that is just out of our hands. A lot of that can be around the advocacy for people, that we know there's genuine concern and issues for people's safety, security, but there can be that sort of red tape that it could be someone's behaviour in the past means they're not able to access supports now, but that doesn't change the fact they need those supports now. And that can be the most difficult. We've particularly found there can be maybe some historical incidents of things that have happened with parents, which means that they are unable to access, say, things like housing, but there are tamariki and children involved in this situation. They haven't done anything that should penalise them, but their situation is penalised because of that. So that is a definite line we're always working with, particularly with MSD, is actually tamariki first, and we need to make sure they are safe. And actually, what's happened with the parents previously, that's not the priority right now. It's making sure those tamariki are safe and have somewhere safe to sleep at night.
Well, so you talked before, Kate, about the uniqueness of the loft. Are there any places like the loft elsewhere in the country who do the same, that kind of networking and have that? They're a real hub.
There are definitely other co-located hubs, and definitely some really successful instances of bringing social services together, sort of up in Tauranga. I know they're developing one in Queenstown. I've spent a lot of time over the years talking with lots of different organisations who go, we want a loft in our town, how do we do that? And supporting those people to sort of say, here are the things that you would need to do and this is what would work. I think what makes the loft so special is that drop-in service attached to it. So on top of bringing these services together and allowing all this great professional development all to be in one space and all these organisations to learn off each other, develop off each other and to have such easy access to all these other services, that brings so much benefit. What the loft does is then bring in this drop-in crisis response service alongside that. And I think that's what makes it really unique, is that ability for people to come and get that level of support instantly, without wait lists, without referral processes. It's free. You know, making things as barrier free as possible is just always our goal. The loft in itself is based in a mall, which is very unique, and I think there aren't other services that have that piece, which some would find quite odd. But the mall is such a, particularly for the Eastside community here, it is such a social point for people. It's a connection for people. People are at the mall anyway. They are doing their shopping. They're going to supermarkets. And to have the services there is just another way of making it easy to connect with. Having the loft based upstairs so that people can attend without anybody needing to see them come in. There's all the names on the door. No one knows who you're coming to see. You're not walking into a building that says Problem Gambling Foundation and having to have people acknowledge that you're obviously walking in with a gambling problem. You can walk into the loft and just ask to see whoever your counsellor or support person is. Nobody needs to know. Even the people in reception wouldn't know, you know, only our team would. We're also part of a wider network. Being in Eastgate Mall, the whole upper floor is social services. So we work closely with the medical centre, the library. We have Te Pua Waitanga now based there. So there's this partnership of the loft and all of our charitable partners, but then there's this wider Eastgate model of support that I think is really working together specifically for a community to make sure that all these things are here to really help improve outcomes for people to make it so accessible.
Well, that's a lot of pluses, I think. I mean, you just talked about the fact that it's so easy to access, which is fantastic. There's no waiting time, which is a huge barrier for people having to make appointments, etc. People can just drop in, which is great. And it's confidential service, obviously.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. So it's got huge amounts going for it. That's fantastic. Is there anything we can do as a from the community's point of view? How can we support the loft?
I think what is really helpful for us is to talk about the loft, actually to let people know that we're there. There are things happening for people that you may not know, and it may be your whānau, it may be your friend, it may be your work colleague. Sometimes people in situations do not know where to start, and the loft is the place that they can start, and it's helpful. I think just ensuring more people know about us, know how easy it is to access, that is really helpful. And we want to ensure that we can support as many people as we can, and that the word of the loft and what we do continues to grow, continues to spread. And then maybe one day we will have that loft in every town.
Mm-hmm. I love the idea of it being a wraparound, you know, just because it is. It's a service that sort of embraces people and helps people move to the different spaces they need to go to get the support they need, which is great. Kate, is there any final takeaways you want to give us before we wrap up?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think I've covered a lot.
Excellent. Well, you've certainly given us a heck of a lot. And I see Tom nodding, because I think we've learned heaps and heaps about the work you do. Thanks for coming in today to join us.
Thank you for having me.
Brilliant. So Kate has given us a great overview of the services delivered at the loft, and just a reminder that the loft is located between the Linwood Library and the Linwood Medical Centre on Level 1 of Eastgate Shopping Mall. So if you're going for your shopping, you can fit in a visit there as well. The Loft is community connectors to listen to your unique situation and help you find out about the services, the resources and the options that are offered there that are available in Christchurch. And these might include emotional, family well-being, mental health issues, housing or financial services and much, much more. So the Loft collaborates and has a number of partner agencies it works closely with, all many of which can be actually accessed there. And it also provides lots of different clinics. So check out their website, www.theloftchristchurch.org.nz, or just call in because it is a drop-in service. So, Kate, thanks so much for being with us today. It's fantastic working with you. I can speak from our point of view.
Thank you.
As CAB, I'm having a clinic there once a week. So thanks for the wonderful work that you do and that your organisation does. Many more years ahead, hopefully, working with you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, thanks for listening, everyone. Until next month, mā te wā. Just a reminder that this show can be found as a podcast. Just go to the Plains FM website and look for CAB on Air. In the meantime, if you're looking for information on any topic, but especially if they relate to your rights in New Zealand, you can contact us at CAB in person, by phone, emails and through our website, and a lot of other ways as well, I think. We provide verifiable, accurate and confidential information to help you understand what your next steps should be. So tune in next month when we'll highlight another organisation providing information and support within our community. Kia ora. Thank you for listening. Until next time, mā te wā.